The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a night to remember. Buzzer beaters, three-point bombs, and a no-no that could have been better. You will see it all right off the top. Then, the fallout from a field day. You'll hear exactly what changed as a result of Justin's second pro day. And then, number one opens up. But did he say too much? We'll tell you what Trevor's talk really means for his NFL career as we get up with you, starting right now. On a Thursday from the Seaport, I'm Greeny. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us on a super busy morning that we have working here. We are 2 weeks from the draft, and we're getting into all that in a moment. But first, let us go through the events of a wild Wednesday in the world of sports. And we begin with an unbelievable finish in Memphis. Down by two in the closing second. That is Luka Doncic throwing up an off-balance one-handed three for the crazy win for the Mavericks. It's worth as many looks as we can give you. Again, they're down two. When the ball is inbounded, he throws it up and it's good. Doncic would finish with 29, and that is how the Mavericks beat the Grizzlies. But hold on, there's more. Warriors and the Thunder last night, coming off a 53-point record-breaking performance on Monday. Steph Curry had plenty for an encore. Look at the moves. Curry making going to the basket look like an absolute art form. He's up and under for the score, and then this is just magic. Look at him working his way, and then you give him any room at all, and he throws it in. Steph finished with 42 on the night, 11 of 16 from three, and the Warriors win it 147-109. But wait, we've saved the biggest and the best for last. Carlos Rodon on the mound for the White Sox going into the ninth with a perfect game. Josh Naylor leading off the inning for Cleveland. And take a look, we got a very close play at first. Jose Abreu, oh, they get him. They call him out at first. Take a look at just how close Naylor comes to breaking up the perfect game. The play was reviewed. It was confirmed. There's one out in the top of the ninth with Rodon looking for the perfect game. The next batter is Roberto Perez, and you're not going to believe what happens. Oh, it hit him. The pitch hits him in the foot. And that is how he loses the perfect game. The ball winds up hitting him right off the foot, as you see. And that is where the perfect game goes. But he would strike out the next batter. Now he needs one more out for a no-hitter, and he gets it. That's Jordan Luplo grounding one to third. Nine innings, no hits, seven strikeouts. A hit by pitch, the only blemish, as Rodon acknowledges the fans who were freaking. The White Sox win it 8-0 on a no-no by Rodon. The 20th in White Sox history. They're now the second team to reach that plateau. Only the Dodgers have more with 23. Rodon personally became just the sixth pitcher all time to miss a perfect game because of a hit batsman. What a crazy night it was around the world of sports. Meanwhile, the biggest story of the day in sports was in Columbus, Ohio. As we stand 2 weeks to night one of the NFL draft, and Justin Fields is not done doing work. You can see the faces of some very well-known NFL people behind him looking on as he went through, Justin did, a second pro day for Ohio State. Among those who were there, Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers head coach, Josh McDaniels, the Patriots offensive coordinator. Here's a list of teams that we can confirm were in attendance, and each of them interesting in their own way. The Niners, the Panthers, Broncos, Patriots, Bears need a quarterback. So much to get to here. Let's start diving in this morning with Louis Riddick and Field Yates, who get up with us early here this morning. Fellas, thank you as always. And so, Louis, what is the significance to you as you look at that list of teams that were there to see Justin Fields? I mean, they're not there for their health. What is the significance of those teams coming out to see him this close to the end of the process?
Well, Greeny, I think they're all trying to figure out just where Justin Fields ultimately is going to slide to, if in fact he does slide. And they need to do their due diligence. And part of the due diligence is making sure we get an up close and personal look at him, regardless of the fact that this isn't football. He isn't in pads. He isn't actually executing, you know, the game. in an 11-on-11 scenario, we want to look at him firsthand, up close, and watch him throw this football as beautifully as he does. And you see right here, that interaction, that one-to-one interaction between him and Kyle Shanahan, those kind of things, look, coaches value that kind of stuff. Josh McDaniels was show, you know, right here on your screen, standing there talking to Kyle. They value this kind of thing. They like to look a guy in the eye. They like to see how the ball comes off his hands. Here you have Pat Shurmur talking to Ryan Day. These guys need this kind of up-close and personal look because it just makes them feel better about, in the event that they have the opportunity to draft this young man, that they have at least put their eyes on him one-to-one. And again, there's not a whole lot you're going to get out of this because Justin's going to tear this up. And he did, just like he did the first time when I was standing 6 feet away from him watching him throw and my eyes were popping out of my head at just how beautifully this guy moves and throws the football. But to have these specific teams, to have Carolina, have Denver, have New England, have Chicago all there, they're sitting there trying, they're gathering intelligence in the event that this young man starts to slide. What do we need to do as far as drafting him if we're in position to draft him? And in the case of New England and Chicago, if an opportunity presents itself to move up to draft him because we see him falling, we want to make sure we have done everything possible to be able to make an informed decision.
So that's one side of it. And then Field Yates, the other side, is the 49ers in attendance. They don't need him to slide. If everything goes the way at the top, we are overwhelmingly led to believe it will at 1 and 2, he'll be sitting there for them. So to you, Field, what is the significance of the 49ers making this trip 2 weeks before the draft?
Yeah, Greeny, I think part of it is due diligence, right? Understanding that the 49ers may very much have their plan in mind right now. I mean, the momentum pushing towards Mac Jones at this point is just too significant to ignore. At the same time, you want to go there, you want to have an opportunity to at least give Justin Fields a fair shake, as your primary decision makers and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were in attendance at Mac Jones Pro Day the first time that Justin Fields had his opportunity to showcase his skills in this format. And as Lewis will be able to tell you better than I can, that's for sure, is teams are always going to study the top quarterbacks in the draft, even in the event they don't wind up taking that player. First of all, it's their own homework to see whether they want to take that player or not, as could be the case with San Francisco. And if nothing else, Greeny, this is an opportunity for the 49ers to get a feel for Justin Fields as an individual, as a competitor, as a thinker, as a thrower, that you may be playing against him a couple years from right now. And that kind of small bit of homework that's done right now in April of 2021 could pay off down the line. But it still feels like, despite everything that Justin Fields has done during his college career and during the pre-draft process, it still feels like Mac Jones is the odds-on favorite to go third overall to the 49ers.
And that then brings us to other teams that are there yesterday, Lewis, including the Carolina Panthers, who are sitting at number 8. And they just made a pretty aggressive move for a quarterback a week ago. So as we start looking at places that you would pinpoint, you, Lewis Riddick, as one who has studied this stuff as closely as anyone, would pinpoint as the likeliest spot for someone to trade up to if they wanted to take Justin Fields. If indeed slipping to 8 can be considered slipping in the draft, if Fields is sitting there at 8, is that the spot? Everyone, Mel in his mock draft identified 10 as the spot that New England would move up to. It feels to me like 8 might be a very interesting spot for New England, Chicago, any other team that wants to come up to take the quarterback.
Yeah, no question about that. Look, I think Matt Rhule understands that, look, when he said just the other day that, look, if Justin Fields or any of the quarterbacks that we like are sitting there, when our time comes up to pick, yeah, we have to have those conversations. He's also letting people know, hey, look, you don't know whether or not we still would be in the market for a quarterback or not. And when people hear that kind of thing and they start getting scared about the fact that, you know, maybe our guy wouldn't be there, do we need to go ahead and pick up the phone and call once Carolina is on the clock? And I think that without a doubt is going to be a pivot point in the draft if Justin Fields does happen to get past San Francisco at 3 and he does slide down to around that 8 spot. I think that's going to be a pivot point as far as, is there going to be some action right here? Our team's going to start calling. And if you're Matt Rhule and you're on the clock, there's no doubt that you're not going to be in a hurry to turn in your card. You're going to know who you want to pick, but I'm going to sit and wait and see if my phones start ringing, if seeing the people start calling. And I would bet it will start ringing if in case it starts to play out that way.
All right. And we, this party this morning is just getting bigger and better. Look who's here. The big fella, Booger McFarland, is ready to go, gets up with us today as we get Booger in. Boog, good morning. And so let me come to you on this as we sit here sort of kicking around the meaning of Justin Fields' second pro day. Throw out everything we've heard. Throw out all the mock drafts. Throw out all of that. In your opinion, as one who evaluates these quarterbacks, where should he go in this draft?
Third, and I think if you're in San Francisco and you freighted up and you put the haul in front of Miami that you did for you to get that pick, I think you got to come up and you got to get the guy that gives you the most potential, the most ways to be as dynamic as they can be. I get the Mac Jones fascination. Understand the quarterback position has always been about decision making and accuracy. I get that. That will always be the calling card for any great quarterback. But when you can get that with Justin Fields, plus you get 6'3" and you get 235 that's running a 4.4. Why would you not want all of it? Why would you not want a guy that could possibly become the next Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson just had one of the greatest seasons as a quarterback we've seen in the National Football League. And you have a guy in Justin Fields that has all the measurables, that has all the traits to become that guy. Why would you not want that? And so if I were San Francisco and I was on the clock and I'm picking third, I look at the two pro days that Justin Fields has had. I go back. I look at what he's done. I look at the conference he's played in. I look at all the traits that he has, and I say, what about this guy do you not like? What about him? Because, again, I've used this analogy before. When I go to the car dealership, Greeny, I want the car that has all the amenities. I want everything. I want the car that can park itself. I want the car that can drive itself. Not just the car that can go 140 miles an hour. I want everything. And so if you're John Lynch and you're Kyle Shanahan, you can get the accurate passer. You can get the great decision maker. You can get the guy that if you don't call the right play, he can make you right. And yeah, guess what? He's not a finished product. None of these quarterbacks are finished products. So if you're Kyle and you're the quarterback whisperer and you're the great offensive magician that we all think you are, then you work with what Justin Fields has and you say, you know what? I'll polish up the edges and I'll continue to develop him because after all, my job is not to find the finished product. People say Mac Jones is the most ready. I want the quarterback that I can coach up that has the highest ceiling. And I think where they're picking at number three, that's Justin Fields.
So maybe, Lewis, to sort of put a ribbon on this part of the conversation, at the risk of oversimplifying it, the 49ers may be facing a decision between higher ceiling versus fit. It feels like Mac Jones is a good fit for at least historically what Kyle Shanahan has done. Justin Fields almost inarguably has a higher ceiling. You look like you're skeptical about me framing it that way. Do you think that's an inappropriate way to look at it? How do you see it?
No, you know what? No, I don't think it's an inappropriate way. I would just say this. Look, Justin Fields is a fit for that offense too, okay? And so is Trey Lance. I mean, these were the two guys. These were the teams, Atlanta and San Francisco, I thought were perfect fits for Trey Lance and Justin Fields because of the fact that, one, they had some veteran quarterbacks already on the roster that they could sit and learn from. Two, the play-action passing game was something that both of these young men could benefit from as they continue to develop their drop-back passing game aspect of it. And because of the construct of this offense and how philosophically they like to attack defenses, it would just help them out. Look, I think he's a fit for no matter where he goes. I think he's a fit in particular for this team. I don't think that Mac is a better fit. I think this is just going to come down to personal taste and who they think can give them what they want on a consistent basis, both now and in the future. And that's really what it's going to be. It's so subjective, Greeny. There is no right or wrong answer here because ultimately it's about winning football games. And if they feel Mac Jones gives them the best chance or Justin Fields gives them the best chance to win, then roll with it, like I said. Just roll with it and go.
Sit tight, Boog. I'm coming to you, I promise. I got to take a quick break. We are just getting rolling this morning. We are going to be jam-packed. Mel Kiper is going to join us as well. On the way, was Trevor Lawrence too honest in a brand new interview we did with Sports Illustrated? You need to hear what he said, and we'll tell you what it means. Plus, who is Patrick Mahomes' biggest threat now in the AFC? Did the Browns close the gap yesterday? We'll answer all those questions and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. An interesting day in the NFL yesterday. Free agent pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney signs a 1-year deal with the Browns. He'll have an opportunity now to play opposite another former number one overall pick in Myles Garrett. And this is what Clowney had to say about his new team.
I still can dominate in this league. I know that. But if I ever reach that, my max potential of getting back there like I feel now, man, they say the sky's the limit, but it's probably higher than that. They got a great team. They're definitely on a winning team. You saw they won 12 games last year, right? More than what my team I played for won last year, I think.
And they won a playoff game, and they acquitted themselves very well in another against Kansas City. And so, with Lewis Riddick and Booger McFarland here, Lewis, I'll come to you. Who's to say that right now the Cleveland Browns don't feel like the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC? If I said that, what would you say to me?
Look, I would say that I don't necessarily believe that they are. I do believe that they are continuing to do a great job of building out this roster and kind of changing the expectations in Cleveland, you know, one acquisition, one game, one win at a time. And that's exactly what, you know, I think Kevin Stefanski had in mind when he was hired. And that's exactly the kind of culture that these guys in this locker room have ultimately put together. But I think it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts that are going to provide the greatest challenge to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, because they have a lot of things going for them right now as far as culture in Indianapolis, as far as personnel in Indianapolis. Now the question is whether or not Frank Reich and one person in particular, that being Carson Wentz, could go ahead and put and be the cherry on top of this great program that they're putting together there. Because if he can get himself right mentally, they do provide him with the kind of structure and support, but not enable him to try and circumvent the normal processes by which a quarterback should go through in terms of being a leader in the organization. But if they can get him on the right track, this team is very dangerous, because they have a great team building philosophy there, and they already have a great, great locker room with a lot of real good players. And I think they're set up for the long haul.
All right, I don't have a buyer there. And Booger, I didn't like the look on your face when I said it either. Who do you consider to be the biggest threat in the AFC?
Yeah, Greeny, you and I are definitely not sharing a brain on this. And I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. And mainly because when you look at a lot of the teams, I'm going with the team that has the best young quarterback. Josh Allen was in the MVP conversation last year, and if he would have finished stronger by some counts, he would have won it. But I just love what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, how they have built that team. You take the quarterback, you build around him, you go out and get Stephon Diggs. And Greeny, think about this. They got deep in the playoffs last year, and understand their defense took a step back. So you couple an offseason where they can get a little bit more explosive on defense, the quarterback takes another step, and I know Leslie Frazier is going to have that defense rolling. So I think when you look at it, of all the teams we're talking about, who's the quarterback that could be closest? Now, he's not that, but closest to an MVP besides Patrick Mahomes? That's got to be Josh Allen. So I'm going with the Buffalo Bills, baby.
I won't argue with that, but I will say this. The Browns were really good last year. The second season in this system, the quarterback should be better. And they're adding Jadeveon Clowney on one side of the ball and Odell Beckham Jr. on the other. He basically didn't play when they got
those
good
are names
year.
Right now, Greeny.
Those are names.
Those are names.
We know. They're names that can play. We will see. We'll come back to this as we go. We'll see. Let me leave it there for the moment because we had the game of the night last night from the NBA, and here it comes. The Nets and the Sixers tied for the best record in the East, but the Nets were basically playing without an all-star team. No Kevin Durant, no James Harden, no Blake Griffin, no LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh, Kyrie played last night, and there he is doing a little bit of his Kyrie magic, and he is pretty much unstoppable. He gives you the handles there, and that's up and good for the bucket. But this was a night that belonged to Joel Embiid. Look at him here. Third quarter, Sixers up 8. How does he get that to go? Third time this year, he had 35-10 through three quarters. It was his night. And then with a minute and a half to go, the Nets down 4. Bruce Brown, he is driving, but Embiid is doing it on the defensive end as well. And Simmons going to get a loose ball and take it away. Embiid 39-13 on the night, and it is the Philadelphia 76ers who get the big win. Again, the Nets were missing so much of their firepower. No KD, no James Harden, and others. And in case you missed it, yesterday, our buddy Stephen A. Smith had these thoughts about the Nets' load management.
This is the BS that I'm talking about right here, right now. This is that stuff that I'm talking about. And then y'all wonder why I be calling cats out. I mean, damn. How many days off do you need? You Blake, you LaMarcus Aldridge, what? For what? What have you been doing that you need a vacation day? Oh, I'm sorry, a personal day, because Lord knows we don't know what's happening now. Regular season games, it's all about the 2 months. That's what you're getting paid for 2 months? No, you're getting paid for a full regular season and the playoffs.
You know, and Tim Legler joins me here this morning. And Tim, you know, this is a complicated situation, but I think Stephen A. speaks for a lot of fans who are frustrated with this. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I understand where he's coming from, because right now I think, unfortunately, the interests aren't all aligned with everybody that's involved in the NBA. So obviously, you know, some of these are legitimate injuries. I don't think load management actually has been as big an issue this year as it has been in the past several. You know, load management became a topic. It became something that's a concern for the league, you know, probably 4 or 5 years ago. It's not as bad this year. These are injuries. I think what's different, Greeny, is that injuries today that, you know, back when I played or even 10 years ago would have kept guys out much less time. Teams are erring on the exercise of caution now and keeping these guys out much longer. As a result, we get these marquee matchups and nobody's playing in these games. And it's a problem. So who suffers? The fans first, no question. Networks, sponsors, and guys like me that want to break it down and try to figure out how these teams stack up against each other. Saw an incredible number last night of the 432 minutes available to the big three against the Sixers this year. They've gotten 62 minutes. One game out of James Harden, one game out of Kyrie. That's all they've gotten against Philly. So how are we supposed to figure out as an analyst how these teams stack up against each other? It's impossible. And obviously the fans miss out more than anybody because you look forward to these big games. And unfortunately, we just have had so many guys not participate. Let's hope that when playoffs get here and all they're focused on is winning and rest isn't as big an issue, that we're going to get these teams at full strength. If that's the case, we could have a phenomenal postseason that could make us forget about a lot of this. But that remains to be seen because a lot of these guys have been dealing with lingering injuries pretty much all season. Let's see how the teams handle it going forward.
And the schedule here in the second half has been so condensed for a variety of reasons. That's been a factor in this as well. Timmy Legs, thanks for getting up with us early here. I appreciate it. I got to leave it there for the moment, but we'll do more as we continue. And coming up here, number one opens up. Did he say too much? We'll tell you what Trevor's talk really means for his NFL career as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and let's do best in class. Lewis, of the quarterbacks in this year's class, who throws the best deep ball?
Yeah, all of them throw them nice. You know, as far as Mac Jones throws a nice one, Justin Fields throws a nice one. But I'll tell you what, Zach Wilson, when you look at his statistics and you're really trying to separate who really is the best guy when you launch a 20-plus, Zach Wilson throws a beautiful deep ball. His adjusted completion percentage, his yards per attempt, touchdown interception ratio, I mean, it's all spectacular. And he's going to need to throw some deep balls because he's going to need to be able to produce some big plays for your New York Jets, provided that they do draft him.
Let's see what happens there. Booger, meanwhile, which quarterback in this class has the best mobility?
Well, I agree. It's kind of hard to argue with the guy that's 6'3", 230 pounds, and ran a 4.4. And when you look at how graceful Justin Fields moves, how easy, you know, we talk about just easy athletic ability. Just look at it move. And mobility also comes with, can you throw him to run, and can you throw at different arm angles? And Justin Fields can do all that, Greeny.
And then Field Yates, which quarterback in this class would you say is likeliest to lead his team to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, so Greeny, I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence, and I understand the Jaguars are furthest away from a Super Bowl, but he is the most certain player to go to a specific team. If you told me Justin Fields is going to the 49ers at pick 3, I'd rearrange my answer and go with Justin Fields, but all things being equal, I'm going to bet on the player with the greatest amount of talent, a guy who has a unique ability to raise the bar for those around him. So give me Trevor Lawrence at some point leading the Jacksonville Jaguars to a Super Bowl, which, imagine saying that statement during the middle of the 2020 season when they were tumbling to 15 straight losses.
Or almost any season in the history of their franchise, candidly. So it would be quite the accomplishment. Now, speaking of Lawrence, he sat down with Sports Illustrated for an interview, and he gave some very interesting quotes ahead of the draft. You may have seen some of this yesterday. It started making the rounds on Twitter, and people were reacting, in some cases, pretty strongly. He said, "I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do, and it's really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me, and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to." His father, meanwhile, told Sports Illustrated, he's not award-driven. He's not, "I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs." Interesting stuff. And again, there was some pretty strong reaction on social media yesterday. Lewis Riddick, what was your reaction?
Look, I'll be honest. It took me aback a little bit because, look, I don't know Trevor Lawrence. I've never talked to him. And quite honestly, I've never been around him. So all we know is what everyone else has told us about, you know, his being a can't-miss prospect and his being one of the best prospects of the past 30 years, and he's can't-miss, and this is why Urban Meyer came out of retirement, because he had a can't-miss prospect here. Well, I just know this. I know this, two things about the NFL, okay? There are quarterbacks that are just maniacal in terms of their preparation and their commitment to the game, and they do want to win at all costs. Quite honestly, the guy who we consider the GOAT, Tom Brady, he has said, if you are not willing to commit yourself in the way that I'm willing to commit yourself, then you're probably going to have a problem matching up with him over time, you know, to paraphrase. You're probably going to have a little bit, be at some kind of deficit at some point in time in a football game against him, because he's someone who is maniacal in terms of making sure that he has all the answers and he is prepared as much as possible, and he will do whatever it takes in order to win football games. And winning at the NFL level is hard, man. Playing quarterback at the NFL level is hard. Steve Young used to say it all the time to me on Monday Night Countdown. It's about the details. It's about the preparation. It's about the commitment. And you better be committed on that level. And the last thing I'll just say is this real quick. Remember now, people were questioning Justin Fields. People were questioning Justin Fields, and he hadn't said a word. People were questioning just how committed he was and whether he was going to be one of those guys who's going to put in the time to be great. If Justin Fields had said this kind of thing, what do you think we'd be talking about here this morning? So I'm just going to put that out there, and I'm not questioning Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying, though.
It's an extremely good point, and that's one piece of this I hadn't thought of. I have a different thought on it, but Booger, I want to hear yours.
Well, Greeny, I think the reason it took a lot of us aback is because it goes against conventional wisdom, right? We want our quarterback to be the first in, last out, willing to die for it all. And I truly understand. But I also have to make myself think that this is a new age. When you deal with this young crew, these millennials, they talk differently. They do different things, Greeny. So what can we rely on? I, like Lewis, have never met Trevor Lawrence. I don't know him. But I know two things. I've listened to Dabo Swinney talk about him. I've listened to Dabo talk about his commitment. And I turn the tape on and watch what he does on the field. He's lost two games as a starter. He came in as a freshman, and he played against some of the best competition alive. And so when we look at him as a generational talent, as a can't-miss quarterback, we look at the physical traits, we look at the dedication and how you play and how you win, and that speaks volumes. I'm not going to hold this kid accountable just because he talks differently or he says things differently or he doesn't say the stereotypical thing that we want all our superstars to say. This is a different age, and I used to fall victim to if they don't say it the right way or do the right thing, or if they're on social media, then they can't be the biggest competitors and the biggest winners because that's the way I grew up. That's the way I saw it done. Well, guess what? It's 2021. These young kids are doing and saying different things nowadays, Greeny. What can we go off of? We can go off of what he's done on the field. He's lost two games as a starter going against some of the best competition alive, and that speaks more to me than him saying, you know what, I don't have to manufacture a chip. I don't have to be Michael Jordan and say, you know what, I was cut from my high school team and I'm going to carry it the rest of my life. Yeah, that works for some people, but you know what, Greeny, it doesn't have to work for everyone. So until I know for sure, and I've met him and I've seen him, that he's a guy who cuts corners, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And to Lewis's point, Lewis is 100% right. If Justin Fields had said this, we would be crushing Justin Fields because there is a narrative out there in the scouting community among some coaches that Justin Fields is lazy. There is a narrative out there that he's not as dedicated, and it's just not true. And we would fall victim to that, and that will be spreading like wildfire, and it's just something that we have to, as people who are on TV and talk about this stuff, we have to help control that narrative. So good point bringing that up, Luke.
I agree with you completely. David, let's just keep it here because we've now opened up a bunch of different conversations in one field. So there's a couple of different ways that I look at this. One of them is Trevor Lawrence is talking about not having a chip on his shoulder. Tom Brady was the 199th pick in the draft. That's how you get a chip on your shoulder. Trevor Lawrence has been the anointed one since he was a sophomore in high school. So the entire narrative on him has been he's the best ever from the time he was 15 years old. There's no way to get a chip on your shoulder while all anyone has been doing is telling you how great you are. But the second piece of that, which I hadn't even thought of, which Lewis just said, about how if those words had come out of the mouths of several other people, namely Justin Fields, they would have been treated very differently. Field, what are your thoughts as you hear all this?
Yeah, the pre-draft process can often be a Rorschach test, right, Greeny? The way that we interpret different things that happen to a player leading up to the draft changes based on who that player is. And, you know, to be honest with you, like you said, Greeny, I wasn't thinking about what if these had been the words from Justin Fields, but just in listening to both Lewis and Booger go back to back on what it would be perceived as or how it would be perceived, now I can't stop thinking about it. This would be the story of the next 2 weeks leading up to the NFL draft as we wait and see where Justin Fields goes during the 2021 NFL draft, which, by the way, even if he said it, there's like no anecdotal or empirical evidence to suggest that he isn't a maniac worker, right? I mean, Justin Fields was right there with Trevor Lawrence as being the anointed one. They come from the same region, the Atlanta region. They were the number one and number two prospects and in the quarterback spot in their draft class. And Justin Fields is not a consolation prize. He has been unbelievable at Ohio State. He, of course, took down Trevor Lawrence and Clemson in the college football playoff semifinal this past year. So my first thought if you're going to ask me about like what I thought of Trevor Lawrence's comments, I don't make too much of them because it hasn't hindered him in any way up to this point, conceding that the NFL is an entirely different beast. But now I can't stop thinking about it, is that we need to be consistent in how we perceive these comments from players, especially those who play at the same position, and especially, moreover, those who are considered in a comparable tier.
That's a great point. And Lewis, as I give it back to you for a final word, I'm just imagine if I had said, someone close to Justin Fields said, he's not award-driven, he's not, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. I mean, the reaction to your point would be extraordinarily different. Go ahead, Lewis, final words.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And remember this, the guy who came back into the NFL to coach Justin Fields, supposedly, that was the draw. That was the draw for Urban Meyer to come back, to coach Trevor Lawrence, That was the draw to come back to Jacksonville, to have the opportunity to coach him. What were some of the things that he talked about that quite honestly drove him to the sidelines? His burning desire to win at all costs. The knowing that in college football, in big-time college football, that when you lose one game, it can absolutely just derail everything that you're trying to do, and how hard he took that, and how much he had that kind of burning desire to constantly achieve and achieve at the highest level and to be perfect in everything they had to do. One, because that's who he is, and two, because that was what was required at the program that he last coached at Ohio State. With being drafted number one overall, the expectation is that you are number one, the number one player in the draft. Two, people have talked about you as being truly, and I hate this word, but I'm going to use it, generational. You're one of the best ever to come out in the pre-draft process as far as how you are evaluated. You are considered one of the best ever. And you're saying now that, yeah, you've had all this success up until this point. Yeah, you're passionate about the game. Yeah, it's important to you, but you're not a win-at-all-cost type of guy. If I had the, there were other people in that article who said if Trevor had to walk away from the game now, he'd be just fine. Or if he had to walk away from it early in his career, he'd be just fine. He's not wired that way. Well, with the number one pick in the draft, the expectation is you are a game changer. A game changer at the highest level. And maybe Trevor still is. Again, I haven't met him and I don't know him. And I'm not trying to be critical of the young man. I'm just saying, as I said originally, had this been Justin Fields, considering all the BS that has surrounded this young man, this would be more than the number one story, Greeny. This would be absolute wildfire right now. And that's just a fact. So just remember that.
Well said, and it's a really important point. That took us places I was not expecting, but they were well worth going. All right, let's take a short break here. We'll come back. We have much more to do, including all the things we didn't otherwise get to. And we've got Mac Jones. Some people think he's going to be the best quarterback in the draft. Some people might just be right. You'll hear why next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up with another look at the top five quarterbacks in Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft. They're the top five quarterbacks in everybody's opinion. There's sort of a big five in this draft class. There are conflicting opinions on in what order they should be selected. That's how Mel sees them. And Lewis Riddick, you made a very interesting comment earlier this week on our show. We have since bounced it off a number of people, and I'd love to sort of revisit it here, in which you said that you've talked to some evaluators whose opinions you regard who look at Mac Jones of Alabama as the best quarterback in this class. I'd love you to pick up the thought from there and explain what they're seeing.
Look, let me start off by saying it like this, okay? The late, great Bill Walsh, who I read everything I can get my hands on about what he thought about quarterback play in particular, kind of basically put it like this, that he said, you know, when it comes to quarterback play, the whole in the end is usually greater than the sum of its parts. And what does he mean by that? That the whole is usually greater than the sum of its parts. It means this, that all the traits that we're talking about with quarterbacks as far as height, weight, speed, arm angle, you know, throwing velocity, you know, arm strength, all that stuff, yeah, that's great, and you want that. Obviously, you want people who have those physical traits. But when he's talking about the whole being greater than the sum of the parts, how many times have we talked about quarterbacks and from the neck up, whether or not they're the guys who can just summon that just instinctive, intrinsic quality in them that allows them to make good decisions and be accurate with the football over and over and over and over and over again? And that's what people point to, on top of the fact that Mac Jones throws the football very well. That's what they point to as far as his ability and why he is being considered maybe one of the best quarterbacks in this draft. Maybe ultimately, depending upon where he goes, ending up being the best quarterback in this draft. It's not to say that he's going to, because we know how much situations determine player success and failure. And the guys in which he is competing against at quarterback in this draft class, are there some spectacular individuals. Quite honestly, I think Trey Lance has the highest upside of everyone in this draft, depending upon where he goes. But I can see why people say, because of the innate qualities and the mental qualities that Mac Jones possesses and the kinds of things that he is able to make up for with his mind that he doesn't have in terms of physical skill, lead people to believe that at the NFL level, which where at some point in time, the drop back game is going to be what you're going to have to master. He may be the very best one and ultimately may wind up being the very best one. And I think that's where Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers are going down that path and saying, is he that guy? Maybe they've made the decision, maybe they haven't, but maybe that's what's leading them down this road.
What do you think, Bug?
Well, Greeny, I can definitely see why people say that, because at the end of the day, regardless of what you do from an athletic standpoint, the name of the game playing the quarterback position is really simple. Can you be a great decision maker, and can you be accurate throwing the football? And Mac Jones checks that. My only issue is this, is that Mac Jones is not the only guy that checks that box, and on top of that, can add some elite athleticism. Okay, Justin Fields can check that box. Zach Wilson can check that box. As far as guys that can throw the football accurately and make really, really good decisions, they all are not finished products. They all have things that they need to work on. They all need to speed their progressions up, Greeny. So I have a hard time, whoever, and I know Lewis is well connected. I would just push back to whoever said that and say, if you can have the guy that can elite process, that can make elite decisions, that can take care of the football, because when a quarterback holds the football, he's holding the lives and dreams of everybody in this organization in his hands. I would just push back. If you can have that guy and you can add a guy that can run 4-4 and get out and escape, why wouldn't you want Deshaun Watson? Because Greeny, by all accounts, that's what Deshaun Watson is. He's a guy that can throw the football accurately and he can elite process. He just had one of the greatest passing seasons we've seen in the National Football League. And I'm not talking about athletic ability running 4-4. I don't give a damn how fast you run. I'm talking about playing the quarterback position from the pocket. What are we saying about Lamar Jackson? Great athlete, MVP, man, we need him to be a better passer. So as much as we talk about athletic ability and off-platform throws and second reaction, let's not forget that this position will always, and I do say always, it's an absolute, it's always going to come down to throwing the football from the pocket in crucial situations, on crucial downs, and you have to be able to do that. I don't care how fast you run. Mac Jones can do that. But there are other quarterbacks that can do that, plus they give you the athletic ability. That's why I don't think Mac is the best quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, that really is an indication, as Lewis, I'll give you the final thought here, of where the game has gone. That maybe that ability to do other things, as they say, when the play doesn't work, when whatever play you call doesn't work, I can go do my own play and make something good happen. And we see a lot of the top NFL quarterbacks now, Lewis, who can do that. Mac Jones does not seem like someone who'll be able to check that box.
Yeah, and he, look, I think he'd be the first person to tell you that, look, he's not that kind of quarterback. He's not Deshaun. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not that kind of guy. And, you know, this is where quarterback evaluation and quarterback preference is so subjective, because it's not, you know, it's not just about that individual's traits and what that individual can do when you're talking about what teams are really trying to do, which is build winners and win Super Bowls. They're not trying to get the best guy who can put up the best stats, who can make the most SportsCenter-like plays and be on SportsCenter top 10 and can put up the most fantasy points. Team builders are charged with trying to build the best football teams. And that quarterback, Booger knows this, I know this, anybody who's played the game knows this, anybody who has sat in the team meeting room knows this. When they talk about quarterback play, they talk about, do not put our team in jeopardy by being careless with the football. And can you, in crucial moments, at 2 minutes at the end of the half, 2 minutes at the end of the game, third down at the end of the game when the game's within 7 points, can you make the right read and make the right call as far as when the game is on the line? Can you do that for me? Not once, not a couple times, but what we're after is, can you do it enough times to where we can win Super Bowls? And quite honestly, the guy who has won the most Super Bowls, and the guy who we consider the GOAT, is that kind of guy. He's not a great athlete. It's not that. It's about what you can do. And that what you can do from a mental standpoint. And you know what? Justin can do it. Trey Lance can do it. Zach Wilson can do it. Maybe, you know, Trevor Lawrence is the guy who ultimately does it. That's what's so cool about this. It's subjective. Everybody has a different viewpoint on this. And so that's what makes this so fascinating. That's why people are so passionate and heated about it. And we're going to see what happens. That's why the NFL stays winning, doesn't it? Because we have conversations like this.
And the increased significance of the position is an indication of the fact that we're talking about a quarterback sliding if he goes 8th or 10th in the draft, and we're talking about 5 of them going in the top 10. I mean, there have been years where there were no first-round quarterbacks, so everything has gone in that direction. All right, I'll leave it there for the moment. Much more on to come. A reminder, it's a big night tonight. We got the 25th annual WNBA draft live on ESPN, 7 Eastern. It's a virtual format again. Dallas has the first 2 picks. Atlanta has the number 3. Indiana has the number 4. It's all coming your way tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, what was it like watching Justin Fields' second pro day? Very few people were allowed to see it or be in attendance, but one of them was our old friend Bobby Carpenter. He was there to watch it. He's going to join us live and tell us exactly what happened as he finishes his radio show live on our air. We're back in a moment with Bobby. Get up on ESPN.